So today's message is on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and it's called When You Pray. And then, as I read this, I'm going to read all the verses, 10 verses, but I'm only going to focus on two verses, verses 5 and 6. And then the second part of the message will be covered on the rest of the verses, or maybe a third part. I'm not sure at this point. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." May the Lord add his blessing to his word. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just want to drop a commercial here on that last two verses before I get into the message. He said, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I'm just going to blurt this out there and you can mull it over in your mind. That scripture is kind of a trump card to grace. I want you to think about that, what I mean by that. You can have all the grace and understand all the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart toward other people, grace does not matter. Grace does not matter. Grace and forgiveness go hand in hand. That's your commercial break there. And we'll get back to it. As I said, I want to focus on Matthew 6, 5 and 6. And it said, and I'll read it again, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We know the story of Adam and Eve, and that both had an understanding that God did not want them to experience knowledge of good and evil. We know that the devil confused Eve, and in that confusion, Eve chose to disobey God's command, and that Adam followed in disobedience to God's command. After Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" I shared this scripture from Genesis because of the implications. The fact that God was walking in the garden means that God was wanting to communicate to Adam and Eve. The fact that Adam and Eve hid themselves means they were afraid to communicate with God because of disobedience. They knew they had done wrong. This story also tells me that before Adam and Eve sinned, they communicated to God. God spoke with them and they spoke to God. This is an early form of praying. I believe that God created all things. I believe that God has no beginning and no end. God is the God of heaven and earth. The psalmist wrote, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." God is the Lord, our Maker. He has made all things. He makes all things new. And that's what he did through Jesus Christ. He is your Maker this morning. And he can take what you have and change it because he is the Maker. Prophet Jeremiah declared that God is the maker of all things. And I believe God, as Genesis declares, created man in God's own image, which tells me that God wanted mankind to reflect God. But the disobedience took the reflection of God's image from man. Therefore, instead of being in the presence of God and communicating to God, humanity had to call on the name of the Lord or pray to God. This is true as we find in the story when Cain had killed Abel and Seth was born to carry out the lineage of Adam and Eve. And Genesis declares, "And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh." Then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. This is the first scripture that actually identifies that men begin to call on the name of the Lord. It identifies that men begin to pray. And men begin to call on the name of the Lord, and as is another way of describing the word prayer. Crying out to God is praying. Calling out to God is praying. One's got to wonder when men begin to call on the name of the Lord during that day of Seth, if the heart cries of these men move God to provide Jesus so that through him we could communicate to God. As Paul declares, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We can come boldly before the throne of grace and call out and cry out to God. Paul also declared Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As believers, we are in Christ and Christ in us. So we have become new, restored, but more than restored, changed so that we are no longer outside of the presence of God, but inside the very throne of God. The curtain was tore open in the temple when Jesus was on the cross. And through Jesus, we can boldly approach the throne of grace in the holies of holies. We can pray and God hears our prayers. John reminds us, saying, now, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears your prayers. God hears when you cry out to him. God hears when you are desperate for him. God hears when you humble yourself before him. God hears you all the more when you know Jesus. Through Jesus, God the Father has lavished his love on us so we could be children of the living God. God hears the prayers of his people. As John the Revelator wrote, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, a golden and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Every prayer you pray is an incense to the Lord. Your prayers, my prayers, any believer's prayer is like a golden bowl full of incense. Incense burns and puts a pleasant smell off. And believers' prayers, they burn in the presence of God and with an aroma that pleases God. Peter declared, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and he hears, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I'd rather have God looking at me favorably and eager to answer my prayers than to have his anger looking at me. God loves all people, but God will not embrace sin or evil. God's righteousness will he embrace, look upon, and receive. God will only receive his righteousness. And we have an opportunity through Jesus Christ to walk in the righteousness of God. And that gives us the peace and comfort that we are going to have everlasting life, that we are going to live forever with God, with him in heaven. And I am thankful for that. That God looks upon righteousness and he's given righteousness to us through Jesus Christ. God's righteousness belongs to a believer through Jesus Christ, and it belongs to the disciples that day. This is why he began his teaching that day with the words, and when you pray. When you look up the Greek word for prayer in that few words, and when you pray, the Greek word for prayer means to pray to God. Jesus wanted the disciples to clearly understand the how to pray, how to prayer. But first, he wanted them to know to whom they are to pray to. The disciples and every believer is to pray to God. The third commandment of the Ten Commandments says, you shall have no other gods before me. There is no other gods that is labeled by man that a believer is to address by prayer. Jesus, when saying the words, and when you pray, Jesus saying, and when you pray, pray to God. Pray to God that declared to Moses that he is the I am. Pray to God that who provided the cloud by day and the fire by night. Pray to God who parted the Red Sea. Pray to God that brought a drought through the prophet Elijah. Pray to God who made an iron axe head float. Pray to God who allowed Jonah to be swallowed by a great fish and then delivered Jonah from that great fish. Pray to God who gave his only begotten son Jesus to receive our punishment for the sin of disobedience so we could become the righteousness of God. And when you pray, pray to God, believing that you will receive. Jesus declared to the disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This declaration belongs to you and I. It belongs to all believers. Freely God has given Jesus to us as believers. And freely as believers, we are to give Jesus to others that others may be touched by them, by him. And when you pray, pray to God. Jesus did not stop with the message to pray to God, but proceeded with a warning concerning the pomp and circumstance of prayer. What do I mean by the pomp and circumstance of prayer? This is what I mean, that prayer can be described as being prescribed, extravagant, or decorative, or theatrical ceremony. Jesus declared, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Through the years, Israel repeatedly would stop embracing God and instead embrace idols with ritualistic prayers, drawing attention to themselves instead of recognizing and glorifying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Israel kept pushing aside the Creator and replacing the Creator with idols in their homes and so forth, and they would pray to those idols. Jesus wants us to pray in the Spirit and not be like Israel in the downtime and when they were praying to idols. We are to pray in the Spirit and pray in truth. This can only happen through Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that that believers would have the mind of Christ to glorify God in how we pray. Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine will be done. Prayer that does not glorify God or gives allegiance to God of the Bible is not prayer. It is a theatrical ceremony, drawing attention to oneself. And to that, Jesus said, they have their reward. Think about that. He said, they have their reward. What reward is Jesus talking about? I believe we can go back to the scripture where Jesus declared, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Praying that does not glorify God or draws attention to yourself is not of God. It is not the righteousness of God. It is a self-righteous spirit that elevates the person. A self-righteousness has its reward, which is not heaven. If you want heaven to be your home, then it's got to be the righteousness of God in you. And your praying must not direct the attention to you where you get glory, where you get the glory for however you pray. We must walk in the righteousness of God in our prayers as we pray. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Believers are to pray in a room, in a field, or on a mountaintop, in a garden, in a shed, in a car, in a laundry room, somewhere where it is you and God having a one-on-one time. This type of communication is the same type of communication that God had when he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. It was a one-on-one time with Adam and Eve. One-on-one communication with God is when men begin to call on God. And one-on-one communication is what Jesus did, as Mark wrote, Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Solitude with God, one-on-one. Jesus had it. Why? We should have it all the more. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He will change your circumstance in your life if you just pray and honor him and you pray to God. The word secret means privately. There is a time for corporate prayer, but privately with God should be done as well. Jesus has called believers to pray to Father God. There is no method to what time of day you should pray, only that you get alone with God, one-on-one communication, that we are to pray without ceasing. And when you pray, Jude writes, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And when you pray, pray to God. This is what we are called to do as believers. Believers are called to communicate with God privately in solitude, and God will reward you openly. I think when I thought, and reading through these verses, and I just felt like God wanted me to break this up. So many people pray so many different ways, but God has made it easy. Just pray to God, the God of the Bible, through Jesus Christ, and God will hear you and reward you openly.